There is a word from the Lord on this morning. Scripture verse this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. It will appear on your screen. I believe I have a different version of it, but just follow along. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have little faith. If I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. If I was to tag this sermon with a title this morning, it would be Faith Makes It Possible. Here we are a few weeks after Christmas, the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have also worshiped as we watch the new year come in during our watch night service. This year on the calendar, there are many significant things that are coming forth this year, 2012. We know already that this is a presidential election. We've heard on the news about the Iowa caucus that just ended, and now we're going into the New Hampshire Republicans' debate and primaries as they begin. This is also known as leap year, which comes around every 4 years, adding one day to our calendar year. Instead of 28 days in February, there will be 29 days. From what I could gather, that extra day keeps the calendar aligned and allow the seasons to begin and end where they're supposed to on the calendar. This is also the year of the Olympic Games, which will take place in London, and it begins this summer. In the midst of all of these events and historical moments in time, for the believer, it is yet another opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, to share our testimony of his goodness and his grace that he has allowed us yet to enter into, that we might enter into a new year of being with the Lord and a new year of being used by God as his disciples. It is also a time when we can take stock of our lives and inventory of our lives and where we are within our lives and what we're doing and what we need to be thankful for and some things that we need to do. Some of these things to us may seem impossible right now, but the word tells us that faith makes it possible. During our watch night service, a few people stood up and they gave their testimonies, and we were blessed by what they had to say. In fact, someone shared with me a few days later that they had no idea that people in our own church were going through some of the things that they were going through. But by hearing the testimony of the saints, that they were blessed. They were blessed to know that God is still making miracles, that God is still healing bodies, that God is still bringing people through, that God is still bringing people out, that God is still working some things out. We have so much to be thankful for. And as we enter into this new year, we need to enter it with a mind stayed on Jesus, a mind that tells us that no matter what stands ahead of us, we know where we've already been and God's brought us through. And he's not a respecter of person, that if he did it for one, he'll do it for you. We have to stand on our faith and know that faith will make it possible. In these scripture verses we have heard in our reading, we see Jesus with his disciples as they go from place to place throughout the region of Galilee, teaching the gospel, preaching and talking about the new kingdom that is to come, that because of Jesus, there is a new kingdom that we can look forward to. The disciples are in training to be the first to go out to teach and preach this good news. I have heard many say that the disciples did not go to school or seminary to become preachers and teachers of the gospel. And I say that's true. However, why would they need to go to Bible school or seminary if the living word, Jesus himself, is your teacher and your professor? Jesus is teaching them not only just by the word, which is alive, but by his actions. They are actually getting on-the-job training with the master teacher. Jesus has come down now from the Mount of Transfiguration. He has taken his inner circle of disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. They had the privilege of witnessing to hear God himself acknowledge Jesus as his son, whom he loved and whom he was well pleased with. They were told to listen to him. Before God spoke out to the disciples, they were positioning Jesus with the other prophets, Moses and Elijah. Peter had already forgotten that God had revealed to him prior, coming to the mount, that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. When God spoke, the disciples then became afraid and fell on their face. Going down the mountain, Jesus said to them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Jesus was already preparing them for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But they were still a bit confused. So they asked the question, "Why does the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus responded, "Elijah did come, but no one recognized him, and they killed him. And so the same will happen to me." Then they realized he was talking about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. When Jesus was on the mount with his inner circle, he had left his other 9 disciples in the nearby village. They were teaching and preaching to the people about the Son of God. The people, recognizing them as Jesus' disciples, brought their sick to them to be healed. And the scripture says that when Jesus entered the village, a man approached Jesus and knelt down before him and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He said he has seizures and he suffers great. He often falls into the fire and into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Jesus, knowing his time with the disciples and his ministry among the people was soon coming to a close, was very upset with the disciples because they were not able to heal the boy. He said to the people and his disciples, "O unbelieving and perverse generation." Jesus replied, "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." In other words, where is your faith? How long will it take for you to get it that faith makes it possible? The Lord wanted his disciples to realize that God was greater than any problem that they might have. John the apostle later on says in 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." As the scripture revealed, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. Jesus knew that faith would help people focus their attention on God's power rather than their limited resources. Without an active means of expressing our faith, we are unable to grow in faith. Jesus said to them earlier in Matthew 5, "O you of little faith, don't worry about what you should eat or drink or what you should wear. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father know that you are in need of them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The disciples, embarrassed by what had happened, waited until they could ask Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we drive out the demons?" And Jesus replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." A mustard seed is a tiny, tiny little seed. But out of it comes this huge, big tree. This tree that shades over, that the sheep go under to lie under, that they might be kept from the sun. A mustard seed is so tiny that it's almost invisible to the eye. You really got to hold on to it. You really got to look at it. But out of it comes many blessings. And so if your faith is about the size of a mustard seed, so many blessings can come out of that faith. I, too, as many of you who are really seeking the Lord Jesus and holding on to your promise that he gave us, are asking the same question. Why am I not able to drive out demons, cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, or the dumb to talk? The answer is faith makes it possible. The lack of faith causes it not to happen. As we read and hear the story of Jesus, we too ask the question, who is this man Jesus? The disciples were walking with him for years, and truth be told, they really didn't know who he was, nor did they know the power that he wanted to give them. The word tells us in John 7:15, it says that if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will of my Father and he will give it unto you. So the question we as believers and being members of the family of God should start out our new year asking ourselves, do you really know Jesus? Do you really believe that God can make the impossible possible? Ask yourself that question. Throughout the Bible, and especially the gospel, there are so many witnesses and testimonies as to who Jesus is and what is possible for us because of him. If you ask the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they will tell you that faith makes it possible because we would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar and worship him, because we knew who we serve, the God of faith. So the king threw us into the fiery furnace. But Jesus showed up and took the heat out of the fire, saved us from destruction, and caused the pagan king to recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe if we ran into Jesus' mother, Mary, she might tell you the story about the wedding and the wine and how faith makes it possible. She would say, we were at the wedding feast and the wine ran out. And Jesus told the people, fill up every jug and bottle with water. And we saw him turn water into wine. And they're still asking the question, what manner of man is this? Now, maybe not all of us, but some of us might run into that woman that had the issue of blood. She might tell you faith made it possible. I was bleeding for 12 long years and spent all my monies going from doctor to doctor. Then I heard that Jesus was coming to town, and I knew that if I could just touch but the hem of his garment, that I might be made whole. Oh, but maybe you might want to speak to somebody else that had the faith that we as Christians say we have. They don't even claim Jesus as their Lord. Perhaps you might speak to the centurion officer, and he would tell you that faith made it possible. He would say that I had a servant who was sick, and sick unto death. And when I saw Jesus, I asked him to heal my servant. And Jesus spoke words of healing and told me, go home. And when I got there, my servant was healed. Jesus operates in faith. And we too have to live and operate in faith. Jesus had faith in his Father, and we have to have faith in Jesus. Because Jesus knew his Father would answer when he prayed. Jesus went around healing the sick. He went around giving sight to the blind. He brought back from the dead Lazarus. Come forth in faith, he spoke, and Lazarus got up and came out of the grave and lived again. How? He believed that faith makes it possible. When his disciples were caught up in a storm and afraid, Jesus came walking on the water. He came to prove to them and to encourage them that faith makes it possible. Someone here on today might be going through a storm right now, but Jesus is going to show up in the middle of the storm. He's going to give you peace, and he's going to give you the answer as you're coming out of that storm. Jesus came to teach us faith. You see, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He's the bright and morning star. He's the bread of life. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who walked out of a borrowed grave and on the third day rose, just like he said he would. He did all of that because of his faith in God. Because of faith, he is not limited in his birth or in his death or in his resurrection. Because of his faith, Rome couldn't condemn him. The cross couldn't conquer him, and the grave couldn't contain him. You see, because of his faith, the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't deceive him, and Satan himself couldn't defeat him. I say all of that to say that if you don't remember anything else this morning, God wants you to keep this in your head. Faith makes it possible. If you believe, all things are possible to them that believe, if you have faith. I looked at that thing a little while and I said, Lord, some things do look impossible. He said, they look impossible to you, but they're not impossible for me. Somebody's dealing with a situation that they think is impossible. But God is saying, through me, it is possible. You have to have faith to know that faith makes it possible. You say, well, it looked like this situation is dead. All I got to do is bury it now and throw it in the grave. God is saying, not so. I can bring the dead back to life. You look like that situation is not going to turn around, like my marriage is gone. But God is saying, not so. The Bible says, for God, all things are possible. And for many of us here wrestling with trials and tribulations in our lives, and you're desperately seeking an answer. And I pray that you'll find it this morning, this afternoon, that faith makes it possible. Preacher woman, what does that mean? Faith makes it possible. Whatever you need faith to do, the power of God makes it possible. If it's healing, it's possible. If it's a breakthrough in your finance, it's possible. If it's breakthrough in your education, it's possible. In your business, the ability to get to the next level in your lifelong dream and to serve God, it's possible. Faith makes it possible. Wherever you need, whatever you need to go, God can make it possible because faith makes it possible. If you've messed up and you need God to bring restoration, ask in faith and know that it's possible. If you have tried before and things didn't work out, don't give up. If you're giving up, give up on yourself, but don't give up on God. But don't even give up on yourself. Ask God in faith for another chance and believe that faith makes it possible. If you believe that you can't do anything with your life and go around with that attitude, you won't do anything with your life. But I believe and I know to be so that the devil is a liar, that he has no power over us. And that thought that you can't make it, the devil has put it there. Because the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because I am above and not beneath. I am the lender and not the borrower. And you should say, if you believe and have faith in God, all things are possible. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing. And in that word faith, at that particular scripture, in the Greek context, it means that it continues. That faith continues to grow based upon your use of your faith. As some of us in this new year are thinking about joining in on the church's biggest loser challenge, let's start out believing that if I want to lose some weight, I must exercise. Tell yourself, I'm going to change this body of fat into a body that looked like Mr. or Mrs. Universe. It's not going to happen in 15 minutes. We got to work at it. We got to work on it day and night, night and day. Years for some of us until it happened, but you can reach your goal. God has given everyone a measure of faith. But if you don't use that faith, you can't develop that faith. Well, just if you can't believe God to heal a headache, then why would you ask God to heal cancer? If you can't believe God for $100, why do you bother to pray to ask for $1,000? If you don't have faith for the smaller things, you can't have faith for the bigger things. You have to start believing somewhere and exercise that faith. You see, faith makes it possible. The first thing we need to know is that faith is the currency of heaven. That means going to God without faith is like going to Walmart with no money.
What are you going to buy? What you expect to get?
There was a well-known evangelist by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. He was a great preacher, and he was a great evangelist. But he also had great faith in God, so much so that he was able to heal people. His testimony of faith was that I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I am only moved by what I believe. So let me ask you this morning, what do you believe? What do you really believe? Do you really believe God can heal you? Do you really believe that God can make a way out of no way? Do you really believe that God can change your circumstance in a twinkling of an eye? Do you really believe that no matter what it looks like, God has a plan for your life? You see, faith makes it possible. Our faith is not believing that God can do it. Our faith is believing that God will do it. And most of all, that God will do it for me. We can believe God, and as a parent, I know that I pray for my son. I pray for my sister's children as she's now going home to be with the Lord, and I believe God for them. And I ask myself, well, why can't you believe God for yourself if you can believe God for other people? And God said, it all comes down to faith. You got to know who I am. You got to know the power that I have. I work through your faith. It is my power, not you. You can't heal nobody. But it is through your faith in me and the power I have that people are healed. Listen to me closely now. Many of you believe that God created the heavens and the earth, right? You believe that God will bless you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But the problem is that you don't believe that it will happen for you. And until you believe, nothing will happen for you. You have to believe without a shadow of a doubt that it will happen. Most of all, that it will happen for you. Faith is not shouting at God when you pray, because God is not deaf. Smith Wigglesworth says, I can get more out of God by believing him for 1 minute than I can by shouting at him all night. It's not how loud you pray or how long you pray that moves God. It's the faith in the prayer that changes God's heart. It's your faith that brings the answer. Listen to me. God does not respond to your need. I know that sounds a little contradictory to what we normally teach and preach. God is concerned about our needs, but he doesn't respond to the need. God responds to faith. Let me say it again. God does not respond to your need. He responds to your faith. You don't go to God and say, look at how big my need is. You go to God and say, I believe you will do it. And whether it's big or small, he does it because you have faith in him. So God is not, we all have needs, and he's willing to meet each and every one of them. But God is waiting for you to step out on faith. So many people never realize their life dreams. Why? Because they won't step out on faith. They think that they're the ones that gonna do it. But God is saying, not so. It is my power through you that make your dream come true. It is what I do through you that opens up the door for you. It is what I do through you that make you who you are and make you one of my disciples. The second thing that God says to us today is that faith is not emotional. When we walk into a hospital to pray for a person who's sick unto death, we can't go in there praying and not believing. We can pray and cry and cry and pray, and the person will only get sicker and sicker, because emotions don't heal anyone. But then there's the testimony of people of great faith walking into the hospital room with the boldness of Jesus Christ and anoint the head of the sick person and believe in faith that God will heal them. And supernaturally, they are healed.
I know because there's some people right in here that God has supernaturally healed. Because of 30 seconds of faith is worth more than an hour and a half of tears. What are you saying, preacher? Just this. Emotions don't move God. Faith moves God. You just have to have faith in God to know that faith can make it possible. The Bible says that believe for the impossible. Act like it's already been accomplished. The fact is, the Bible doesn't cause faith to work. Faith causes prayer to work. Faith is the difference between success and failure. Okay, so you need a job. You don't pray to God and say, I'll never get a job. You say, Lord, I thank you for the job right now. You say, I'm believing in faith that you're sending me one right now. If you're sick, you don't say, Lord, I thank you. You say, Lord, I thank you for healing my body. The doctor said there was no hope, but God, you are the God of hope. You say, Lord, by your stripes, I am healed. When you pray with this kind of faith, supernatural things begin to happen. You see the lame begin to walk. You see the dumb begin to talk. You see the blind begin to see. Demonic spirits begin to back up and flee. Money start to find you. Supernaturally, your marriage begin to get better. That's right, marriage. Say, Lord, I thank you for restoring my marriage. And stop praying about how your marriage isn't working out. Just have faith to know that faith makes it possible. If your business is in jeopardy, stop praying about how you're losing your business and start praying, Lord, I thank you for turning my business around. The devil's mad at me right now, but I'm glad because by faith, the victory is mine. By faith, God has heard my prayer. By faith, God has answered my prayer. Nothing shall be impossible for God. I believe in faith, the faith of God, and I believe in the power of God, and I believe in the word of the Almighty God. Lastly, for today, before we should never stop teaching and preaching about faith. That is the one thing that undergirds this Christian walk. So often we think if we just come to church and sit in the pews that that's enough, but that's not enough. And even if you read the word, if you don't believe the word, what good is it? You have to have faith to walk this walk. You have to have faith to change your life. And so I say to you, what is faith? If you can't remember, I want you to write it down. Faith is the light that sees you through the storm. Some of you in this church might be going through the darkest hour in your life. And some of you, you know, you're just all right. Things are good. And I'm happy for you. But every now and then, each and every one of us gonna go through a storm. You might be in a massive storm today, and you might not be. You might be shaken to the core, but I tell you, if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, because he's in the storm with you. Faith is the light that see you through the storm. Just keep holding on to God's unchanging hand, and he's going to bring you out. Faith gives us the courage to march forward. When everyone else is shouting at you, stop believing that stuff. It's not going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen for you. But I tell you, just turn your back on them faith haters and know that faith hears from heaven. It doesn't hear from hell. Faith hears from heaven. It doesn't hear from your doubting friends. Faith hears from heaven. It doesn't hear from the palm reader. Faith says that I'm on my way to heaven and I'm not listening to any more mess or any more lies from Satan. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What God says is always in contrary to what the devil says. Why? Because God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. The devil is an evil spirit, and he's full of deception. So again, whose word do you believe? The word of the Lord that is perceived by faith, or the word of Satan that is full of lies and deception? Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen to that. Faith is evidence. Then what is the hope of the believer? Faith is believing that God is going to come through for me, even though I don't see the support I believe I should have. Faith is believing that God can do it and that he will do it. Faith is knowing that God loves you and that he's already worked out a plan for you. Faith in God and the hope for the believer is based upon the word of God. Therefore, faith is believing that God is going to answer your prayer. I don't know what your prayer is today. Sometimes I have to ask myself, what should I be praying for? Why? Because sometimes life can be so confusing. And sometimes you think you need this, but God is saying, no, you need that. And so sometimes you may even have to ask God, what should I be praying for? Because life can be so confusing at times. But God is not a God of confusion. Therefore, if you need an answer, go to God in faith and he'll give you the answer. Therefore, faith is believing that God answers prayer. I know he'll answer prayer because he's answered some of yours, and I know he's answered a whole lot of mine. I don't hope God heals. I know that God heals. I know so because it healed me over 20 years ago, as I was sharing with my Sunday school class this morning, and I was telling them that maybe I'm being a little transparent, but sometimes God will cause you to be a little transparent. Over 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, but God healed me. He healed me because, and it wasn't even all of my faith. Some of that faith was other people's faith praying for me. But I had to get to the place where I trust God and believe him that whatever he had in store for me, that he was able to bring it to pass. You see, faith makes things possible. I don't hope God will lead and guide and provide. I know God that will lead, guide, and provide. Because he's doing it right now. I don't hope that there's life after death. I know that there's life after death. Because my God lives. And because he lives, I got faith. I don't hope that he's coming back. I know he's coming back. Because the Bible says that this is the same Jesus shall come in like manner. Just as we have seen him go. Faith makes everything, anything possible. The disciples couldn't call out the demon out of the boy because they didn't have faith. And we don't believe God for the change that we need or receive the blessing that God has for us because we don't believe that faith makes it possible. As I close this time with you, this sermon on this morning, faith makes it possible. I want to leave you with this short story. The younger ones may not remember it, but some of us who back in the 70s remember this movie. It came out of a book by Alex Haley called Roots. It later became a movie, and in the movie version, there was a scene with the main character, Kunta Kinte, played first by LeVar Burton as the younger Kunta Kinte, and then later on by Louis Gossett Jr. And as we know, all the Africans that were brought to this country came against their will, and Kunta Kinte was no different. But eventually, he met a woman, and they got married. And eventually they had a child in slavery. Kunta Kinte never submitted himself to slavery, and he never accepted it. In fact, when he ran away at one point and they caught him, they gave him a choice. They said, we can castrate you or we can cut off your foot. But Kunta Kinte chose the latter and asked them that they would, and said, cut off my foot, but do not castrate me, because he believed God. And out of that, he had a little daughter by the name of Kizzy, and he swore that she would know her heritage, that she would know her history, and that though she was a slave, she would never be a slave. And soon after the little baby girl was born, he took her from her mother's arms, and in the midnight sky amidst the auction block and the slave pen, he took her out of the little slave cabin and walked outside and climbed up on a little small molehill. There at the top of that molehill, he lifted up the little girl to the sky with nothing but a twinkling star above, and he whispered in her ear, behold, the only thing greater than yourself. As that girl grew up and the story is told, as long as Kizzy understood that she was part of the greater whole and that there was a God greater than the auction block, if she would only remember that God was greater than the slave pen, that God was greater than any problem she could have had, that no matter how difficult it got, God was still with her, that if she could remember that God was in the hardship, as long as she lived with God in her heart, she could make it. And though she was a slave, she was still free. Somebody here today is hurt, is caught up, and can't believe God for a miracle. You can't believe God for the possibilities. But I'm telling you today that God is able. He can make it happen for you. He can bring you out of this situation. And when you pray for people, pray believing in faith. And if you can't pray in faith, then don't bother praying. Because faith makes everything possible.